You may be seated. This is a day of both sorrow and delight, of grief and celebration. We have gathered in sorrow because one dearly loved has left us here. In physical form, Lois Cook is no longer amongst us, and we miss her. Yet this is also a day of delight, for we delight in the Lord. We rejoice in God's grace shown to Lois and to all followers of Christ to know that the end of life on earth is the beginning of life in eternity with the Lord. And so we come as Lois's family and friends, we come as people of faith to offer our praise and thanksgiving to God, to rejoice with one another, as we hear the words of Scripture which tell us of the gift of eternity that awaits. I invite you to pray with me. Holy and gracious Lord, we give thanks for the life this day of one dearly loved, Lois Ann Cook. Thank you, God, for being her good shepherd and watching over every step she took. Be with us now, the sheep of your fold, the flocks of your pasture, and draw us closer to rest in your bosom that we might know peace and hope. Bless us now, O God, to receive the gifts of Scripture and faith, to share with one another in both sorrow and rejoicing the love of life. Holy Lord, bless all who have gathered here to remember Lois, to mark her passing from our journey on earth to heaven's realms in eternity, and to give humble gratitude and thanks to you for a life well lived, a life well loved. Amen. The family has gathered pictures from Lois's life to share with you visual memories of Mom and Grandma.
Thank you. What a wonderful collection of memories. I want to share with you, the day before Lois passed, Cynthia and I had the opportunity to be with the family by Lois's bedside. Lois hadn't passed yet. She was beginning the journey. But it truly was a privilege to be there, to see the same kind of countenance we saw here in these pictures that she had as she was preparing to pass. And I know she passed peacefully into the arms of God. So she is there, and undoubtedly she's looking down upon us now. Would you turn in your bulletin, please, to the congregational reading of Scripture? I will read the lighter print, and if you would follow with the darker print. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Amen. Will you join me now as we sing together the beautiful hymn, Amazing Grace, found on page 546 of your hymnal. The passage I'm going to share with you now is from the 31st chapter of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, he says. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who cares and who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. May God bless to us the reading and hearing of these words.
There are many scriptures that would have been appropriate for us today. The familiar words of the 23rd Psalm that we've read together, "The Lord is my shepherd," offers great comfort and peace. Lois knew Christ as the Good Shepherd, as portrayed in the stained glass at the front of the sanctuary where she worshiped for so many years. She knew God as the one who guided all the days of her life, who blessed her soul with peace equal to green pastures and still waters. God walked with her even through the valley of the shadow of death. That journey seemed swift, yet so sure. We could have also read Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills, from where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Every day since moving to Casper in 1950, Lois looked up at Casper Mountain and knew the Lord's help for whatever tasks lay ahead. She joined her outdoorsy husband on many of his hunting, fishing, and camping expeditions, receiving a rifle from him as a Christmas gift, and even shooting a moose once. The family went camping a lot. One time she told a friend she liked the camping and fishing, but not so much the hunting or the cold. But still she went. She lifted her eyes to the hills and her heart as well. We could have read Matthew 19:14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." For just as Jesus loved the little ones and welcomed them, so too did Lois. She loved her grandbabies. When she worked here at First Christian Church as our financial secretary and office manager, she took delight in those days when our preschool class would troop past her door on their way to chapel here in the sanctuary, and every one of them would stop, peek in, and wave at Mrs. Lois. Whether it was her own great-grandchild or another's little one, she'd smile broadly and wave back. After moving to Park Place, she wasn't super social mingling with other residents, but she always went to the musical programs they hosted, especially if the children from Head Start next door would be singing or putting on a play. Yes, there are many passages of Scripture that speak to us today, tying in with moments of Lois's life and reminding us of the promise of God's love. Her family has chosen the best possible word, an excerpt from Proverbs 31. Verse 10 introduces the section that Paul read for us. "A capable wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good all the days of her life." King Solomon, to whom Proverbs is attributed, would have approved. He wrote, "She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household. She girds herself with strength. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness." It's all very true. Idleness was never a part of Lois's DNA. Caring for her family took top priority and gave her life meaning and focused purpose. She was the consummate caregiver, even when young, and had a calm demeanor in seemingly all circumstances. Lois Ann Bach Cook was born July 20, 1931, in Council Bluffs, Iowa, to Stella Hastings Bach and Dwight Bach. The family also lived in DeWitt and Princeton, Iowa. Lois started working as soon as she was old enough to babysit, and in her early high school years, worked at the local dime store. She graduated from DeWitt High School in 1949, where she played the flute in high school band and sang in the school choir, She also played the piano and organ. She worked as a receptionist at a doctor's office after graduation, and then took a trip out to Wyoming to visit her Aunt Margaret in Eagle Head. She loved Casper so much that she returned home, quit her job, and moved here. Upon her return here and settling in, she got a job as a secretary for Evans-Nagel Motors. That's where she met the love of her life, Christian Delmer Cook. They married on July 12, 1952, at the First Baptist Church in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. Together, they would raise three children, Deb, Roger, and Becky. Proverbs says, "Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. She laughs and opens her mouth with words of wisdom." Her husband and her children were her life. Every summer, the family would travel back to the Midwest to visit relatives. She was the constant presence, the beating heart at the center of her family's life, like the undertone notes of a chord that carry an entire song. On a Friday night, you'd find Lois sitting beside Delmer at a local high school or college sporting event. They participated in a couples bowling league until their late 50s. During the summers, she was a baseball mom and then grandma, missing very few, if any, games. She was a fabulous mother, always there for her children. Family and church meant everything to her. For a time, they attended worship at First Christian Church at the Little White House on Grant and Lind, shortly before the congregation built this sanctuary and moved here to CY Avenue. Lois officially joined First Christian Church by baptism in 1964 on March 22nd, here in the sanctuary. And she spent countless hours of her life volunteering and serving her Lord with this congregation, singing soprano in the church choir, serving as a deacon, serving on numerous committees and even a term as board chair, and of course being a vital part of the church's Christian Women's Fellowship. She enjoyed hosting CWF meetings at her home and serving fancy desserts with tea or coffee, as was the trend of the time. Her co-workers for the Lord will serve you today following the service, a fitting tribute from CWF to one of their own. Caring for her church family was a natural extension of her desire to show love to the Lord and to her own family. It was the key trait that God had planted in her heart to love and to give. From Proverbs again, "A woman who cares, who loves, who serves the Lord is to be praised." We've mentioned that Lois was a hard worker. Her secretarial career spanned 60 years. From Evans-Nagel Motors, where she'd met Delmer, she went to serve as secretary for the Presbytery of Wyoming for many years while her children were growing up. Melanie Dowler told her about an opening at the First Presbyterian Church on 8th Street, and she went to work there as the office administrator. She retired from that position to join Delmer in his retirement, but before long was asked to fill a part-time position, just help out a little, with the bookkeeping here at First Christian Church. Her service here was invaluable and stretched for many years. She enjoyed her job and absolutely earned the trust of not just our stewardship and finance team, but the entire congregation. If you had a question about your tithe or the church budget, Lois could get you the answer. When I first arrived as pastor here 10 years ago, it was Lois who helped me know the history of families in the congregation, who's related to whom, who's involved in CWF, who used to sing in the choir and still loves music even though their voice has faded. She knew the history and the legacy of so much that had unfolded in this place, her beloved church home. She held the position of financial secretary and office manager until just a few years ago, when a heart issue let her finally listen to her family's loving concern. "Mom, it's time to retire." So at the age of 85, she retired again. As her health made it more difficult to get out, her pastor and elders would go to visit. But she often said she was most content just being home alone. She had spent so much of her life around others, helping people, being a caregiver. When her children were grown and on their own, when her church family was left in capable hands, she was ready to rest and quite content. With her work on earth done, trusting completely in the Lord, Lois Ann Cook passed away August 8, 2019, at the age of 88 at Wyoming Medical Center, surrounded by her loving family. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Delmer, sister Beverly. No doubt there was a joyous reunion in heaven when Lois joined them at Jesus' side. Lois is survived by her children and their spouses, Deb and Richard Rodriguez of Billings, Montana, Roger and Brenda Cook of Casper Mountain, and Becky and Randy Hodges of Casper. Her sister, Georgia Young of Warland, Wyoming, and brother, Leonard Bach of Bonner Springs, Kansas. Lois leaves behind 6 grandchildren and 5 great-grandchildren, with number 6 on her way, plus numerous nieces and nephews. Solomon wrote, perhaps of his own mother, many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Indeed, Lois was superlative. She surpassed all that was asked of her. And for this, we say thank you, Mom, Grandma, servant of the Lord. Her grandson, Jeremy, will come forward and share memories from the grandkids.
Oops. Thanks all for coming out. It means a lot to us as a family that you guys are here. The 6 of us wrote down just a few notes of our favorite memories and things that you'll endure from her. For me, it was her, and I think back to longest time with everything with the fishing and camping, but I remember her pitching wiffle balls to me in the hallway at their house and not caring whether or not I was hitting the wall with the bat or knocking things down. With just everything else, the one thing that endures is her, as I said, she is truly the only person I have ever known in my life that I have never seen angry, ever. So, for my cousin Richie, my grandma's kind sweetheart will always be missed. There was one time, though, as a youngster, she actually swatted my cousin Jake and me on the bottom. Other than that, she was always nice. We will all miss you. Love, Richie. So again, as I said, I've never seen her angry. I apparently was the good one. So, from Rhiannon, I remember one time while we came to see her and Grandpa, I had gotten teased at school for having a mole on my face. When I told Grandma, her reply was, "What? That?" Pointing to it. "You mean your beauty mark?" Right then, I felt like I wasn't ugly because of it. Later on, I came to realize looks really don't matter. Your personality does. A lesson that she learned from our grandmother. From my sister, Jerrica. My memory of Grandma was her special chuckle. She chuckled at everything. As a kid, I'll always remember that same chuckle because it was the sound of her happiness, simplicity, sweetness, and innocence of knowing you were safe in Grandma's house. I still hear that chuckle, and it makes me happy. That one's great. All right. So, I was told Delane wrote the long one, so our apologies. So from Delane. From my brother. Grandma Cook, what can I say? The kindest, most sweetest woman I know. She was a bright and shiny person that could light up anyone's day on even the worst of them. Definitely a positive force in everyone's life, and words cannot express how truly she will be missed. I love you, Grandma. Send Grandpa Cook our love. Okay, so apparently this one's from my sister. I loved being at Grandma Cook's as a child. We'd tend to her garden, she was a fantastic cook, and she called us Puddin'. If you were lucky enough to sit next to her, she gave amazing back scratches. With six rowdy grandkids in the house, I don't remember her ever losing her patience or raising her voice. As an adult, I would call her for recipes, and it always cracked me up at how she never wrote anything down to exact measurement. Her fried chicken recipe, which was my favorite, she knew by heart, and it's impossible to duplicate. When I had babies of my own, I loved seeing Grandma holding them, and I'm very proud of the great relationship she had with them. In talking with my kids, I realized that we had a lot of the same memories. She addressed them as Puddin' and gave them back scratches. Like me, they played on her organ and jumped on her beds. The loud popper push toy that we played with as kids, Camden and Lindsay pushed around her house. They loved Grandma time, and because she made yummy sandwiches and always had goodies. Grandma Cook was always available for a hug or a snuggle, and let us crawl into her lap, even when we were getting too big. While I was walking these halls in preschool, neither Camden nor Lindsay ever missed an opportunity to duck into Grandma's office for a hug, which always made her laugh. They always looked forward to seeing her, and feeling was mutual. Grandma and Grandpa Cook taught me about faith right here in this church, but Grandma taught me about grace. She just exuded it in everything she did, from her manners and etiquette and how she carried herself to the sweet tone of her voice when she spoke. Through good times and bad, her grace remained constant and unfailing. It's fitting that a few lines from my favorite song have been ringing out to me this week. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us all safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. She was truly amazing. Thank you for your time, and thank you for coming out today.
The grace that Lois embodied was an amazing gift from God, and one that we celebrate this day and will cherish always. We've sung Amazing Grace, one of her beloved hymns, her favorite songs, and now we will sing another, How Great Thou Art, number 33 in the hymnal.
Thank you.
Following the service today, Lois's family and dear friends have provided a luncheon for us to share. The women of the church look forward to serving you downstairs in Fellowship Hall. Immediately after the service, we will proceed to Highland Cemetery for burial. The guests will be dismissed, and the pallbearers will come back in to escort the casket at the front of the church. The hearse will be pulling around to this side street. So if you're parked in the parking lot and you want to proceed to the cemetery with the family for committal, simply get in your car in the parking lot and wait as the procession comes by, slip out and join them. We'll go down to Collins, past the high school, and turn right and proceed from there. If you're not able or feeling capable of going to the cemetery today, but you want to greet the family at lunch, you are very welcome to remain here at the church and wait for just that brief interval of time. You can go downstairs, sit and relax, have a cup of coffee. The family will come back here and will greet you at that point. Please be sure that you've signed the guest register so they have a record of your attendance today. Please come back. Becky is begging you to come and eat and maybe take a doggy bag. They are well prepared. They learned from Mom, you fix food and you fix enough for company. So please stay and eat and join the family for lunch today. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Most loving and gracious God, we thank you for your presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us in this place where Lois worshiped for decades. We thank you for your presence and the beauty of nature as she knew you, standing on the banks of a flowing stream or camping under pines. We thank you, Holy One, for your presence in the midst of laughter and stories shared by family and friends. Good and gracious God, we thank you most of all for your presence in the heart and life of Lois Ann Cook. Bless her now, O God, with eternal rest and peace. As you greet her, O Jesus, may she hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And now, O God, may your face shine upon us, your countenance rest over us, and your spirit fill us with peace as we go forth to live, to love, to serve in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.